Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 59. What was the main game, Kenny, Nolan, that you played in the arcades growing up? And so I've kind of, just to help jog your memory, I've gathered a few of the amazing titles that I played often when I was a kid, so that maybe that can help you to focus in on one of the games that was your favorite. So I played a lot of Area 51. Do you guys remember that, where you're taking out the aliens?
Yeah, overhyped.
The two guns.
Yeah, blue gun and red gun, at least in my place. Obviously, you've got the Cruisin' game, so Cruisin' USA, but Cruisin' World might have been better.
I didn't like those.
Really?
Are those the ones where you sit down and drive?
Yeah.
Not a fan.
In my view, that's an N64 title, for sure.
No, bro.
Cruisin' World on N64, I'll take anybody on.
Okay, all right. Well, there's also the X-Men beat-em-up game, which is just so fun.
Absolutely.
Spectacular.
That's got to make my list.
Even the amazing and unforgettable Sunset Riders that we played as a part of this podcast. So
yes.
I never played it, but it's a good one.
Those are just a few, a little bit of fodder for your memory. What was your favorite arcade game of, let's say, the 90s or the early 2000s?
Oh, there's two that stick out for me. The Ninja Turtles game, for sure. Similar
okay, well,
vein.
You can't just say the Ninja Turtle. There's like four or five arcade Ninja Turtle games.
Oh, I don't know. The one I played, it was Ninja Turtles, and it ate all my quarters.
It wasn't in time?
I don't think so.
Was it Manhattan?
Manhattan
no.
Project.
I don't think
was it
Manhattan
the one
Project
where they first
was an arcade.
Wait, was it the one where you first fight someone in a room, and then Shredder comes in and steals April and jumps out the window?
Yeah.
That's
so.
The one I played. That one was so good.
Yeah, absolutely. Like so many quarters. That and the X-Men game. And then there was a game that when we played Gauntlet Legends, and we've talked about this before, that I thought was the game we were about to play, and it wasn't. That plays like the X-Men or the Turtles games, that I still want to figure out what it's called. And it was like, I don't know, like magical sort of fantasy themed. And it was awesome.
Yeah, Gauntlet Legends.
It wasn't Gauntlet Legends. It was like, it was a side-scrolling, like, beat-em-up, like the X-Men or Turtles games. And you had, like, magic powers, and different people did different things and could fly around. And I don't know, it was sick. I really want to remember what game that was so we can put it on the list. If anybody knows what they think I'm talking about,
I think Dustin thinks he knows what you're talking about.
It's Gauntlet Legends.
No. I wasn't going to say that, but I do think that it might be Gauntlet Legends. Nolan, what was the game that you played most in the arcade?
$5 says Nolan liked Mortal Kombat the most.
$5. $5 and quarters, and you're right. No, it was Mortal Kombat. I played that more than any other arcade game, which is surprising because it's very bloody and it's pretty grotesque. I'm surprised my parents let me play it, but
yeah, I did not play that. Who's your primary character?
I liked what are you laughing at, Kenny?
Sorry, I thought he was about to ask you who was your primary caretaker. Like, like, how did you get away with playing
like,
this game?
Who let you play this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, okay. I played Scorpion a lot. Just because he's pretty cool, and he's got the get over here line.
Right.
Although I never could figure out how to, you know,
get over
that,
here.
Yeah, put that
I mean,
combination in because that was
on.
The thing back in the day.
Sub-Zero
is pretty cool too.
I always liked Raiden.
And Raiden, yeah.
Oh,
those
yeah.
were my two go-tos.
Well, one of mine that I regularly came back to was Street Fighter II Turbo. I think that is probably one of the best Street Fighter games.
Yeah, that's
and
a great one.
I think this one in particular was the like where super combos and even air combos first came into play, and then you had this like mysterious secret character that I fell in love with named Akuma that I liked to play regularly. He had red hair and he was just a really cool character, as well as obviously I had the staples of the series, Ryu and Ken, who were just amazing characters not only in Street Fighter 2 Turbo but also in our retro game of the week.
That's where we're going.
I had the same thought.
Ninja Gaiden.
Overview.
How many characters in how many games have been named Ryu over the years?
Probably at least two.
I mean, the only two that I can think of are actually those games.
No, there's at least one RPG I played that has that as the main title character.
Oh, yeah, Gauntlet Legends. That is
not Gauntlet Legends. That was actually a really good game. I need to look that one up, too. I feel like it's a really common, like, stereotypical, like, Asian character, at least when, like, moving it to Western markets game. I feel like it's, like...
Whoa, let's not say nationalities here, bro. Okay. That's racist.
Four video games that have a ninja-y theme. Is that more politically correct? I feel like it's, like, the go-to. Like, it's, like... someone's name being like Josh or Michael or something.
Or Kenny.
In America.
You know why, right? Ryu actually translated means a ninja, and Ken actually means of the night.
I don't believe you.
We'll look it up later.
I'm not going to.
Ninja Gaiden is a platformer for the Nintendo Entertainment System. It was the first in the series, and it was developed and published by Tecmo. So a little bit about that company. Tecmo's a Japanese company that has a okay size game library before they got liquidated. Some of those include the Dynasty Warrior series, tons of games in that series. The Monster Rancher series, one of which we played on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course Ninja Gaiden, which also has many titles in it. You, as we've already mentioned, you play a ninja named Ryu Hayabusa, and you're trying to avenge your father. I didn't mention that this is a side-scroller, so it's just an action platformer.
Your father's name is Ken.
Father's name is Ken. And basically, he dies during a duel, but leaves you a note telling you to go to America and find this archaeologist. And before you know it, you're having to save the world. That's just how it goes.
Like in most video games. Yeah. Before you know it, you're saving the world.
Let me just pause. What's with these early games and their stories that start out all semi-normal and then quickly devolve into like galactic battles with aliens and demons?
Like 10 minutes in.
It's the easy way out.
They become so crazy so fast. It's like really a bait and switch. It's like, hey, this is a normal, fun game. Aliens!
Yeah. Well, they've obviously gotten better at storytelling in video games, and I don't know if it was because of limitations or what, but it's such an easy way out to just like it ramps up so quick. So before you know it, you're this ninja that needs to stop this evil demon from coming back. The noticeable thing about this game and what a lot of people have praised it for is the anime-like cutscenes. And what's that, cutscenes on the NES?
Yes,
there are.
Makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense, but they're there, and you need to see these cutscenes. We'll get into
and
it.
And they're good.
That's what I'm saying.
No, they're very
like,
good.
Like, what? Guys, we have played much later games with not any kind of cutscenes because they couldn't figure that out. Like, here in 1988, that's pre-you, Nolan.
Yeah. And, like, the way that they pulled it off with, like, the camera angles, which there's no camera, but it makes the depth of field and the way that they position characters on the screen, it works so well. Like when he'll move across the screen, just his face, and then we'll go to the side and it will reveal someone standing behind him, and you know they're like in the distance. It's just awesome, and the art style is so cool. So they nailed it. And Dustin just said it, the game was released in Japan in 1988 and 1989 in the States.
Gameplay.
Can we just begin this gameplay section by admitting how angry this game made us? I feel like this would be this would be cathartic for me at least, because I honestly... So I'm pretty chill when it comes to most video games, and if it's starting to frustrate me, I won't play anymore. So probably the game I've been most frustrated with in my life was League of Legends. I no longer play that game because I just won't subject myself to that level of torture. This game, Ninja Gaiden, frustrated me so much because of how difficult it got, how quickly. Do either of you relate, or did you just breeze through it?
It wasn't that hard.
Save states. Are you using save states?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. I mean, that makes a game a lot easier.
It completely changes the dynamic having save states.
I only had to use my save state one time.
One time?
I need to finish the game. Yeah.
You beat the entire game with one save state.
Yeah.
Nolan's just better at video games than us.
Who is this?
But no, that's not even it. Kenny, this game is old.
I feel like this game has a reputation for being harder.
I never knew that. I mean, it might. I just didn't know. I didn't know that.
But I also, like, this is one I did play as a kid. I mentioned that last week. And so I kind of, Dustin, came in knowing some of the frustrating elements about it.
You kind of, Dustin?
That was a comment, a comma. I kind of, Dustin, came into the game knowing how frustrating it could be. Like, you're jumping through the air and a random enemy barely hits you, and of course it knocks you in a hole. And, you know, it has some frustrating elements
for
sure. The
boss fights are way harder than the...
I mean, the boss fights are hard, but even the traversing of the... Okay, so I kind of, Kenny...
Well done.
I know this is sad. I kind of played Ninja Gaiden for my very first time this week. So I had no previous experience with it. No knowledge of the game. Clearly, I've heard of the game before, but this is my first week to sit down and play it. And it was difficult. Like, if neither of you had difficulty problems, maybe I'm just special. But I really feel like if we were to go look, like, I thought that with this game came the, it was notorious for being a difficult game. Am
I know
I wrong?
It made at least one YouTuber's list of top 10 hardest NES games.
Okay, good.
Like, I'm not disputing that.
I didn't know that, though. Like, it's not an easy game. It wasn't easy, but... I've noticed difficult. Like, I think Mega Man's harder than this game. Way harder. Like, Mega Man, the early Mega Man's.
Well, maybe like the Game Boy one. I know that one's hard, but Mega Man 2, that's the one we played on the podcast, right?
Mm-hmm. That one, okay. Mega Man 2 is not bad, but like, Mega Man 3 is a very hard game, and I would say it's harder than this one.
Any kind of platformer where multiple enemies are spawning and coming at you and can knock you off into the endless abyss is frustrating to me. And that's what's happening here. So you've got a really diverse set of levels with a slew of different enemies. So you've got other ninjas, you've got bats, you've got jetpack ninjas, I'm pretty sure, in louder stages. And
dogs.
Then you've got, like, charging football players. Uh-huh. What are those charging football players?
I don't know, probably.
No, they...
The green ones?
Yes!
No, they're not. They're ninjas.
I thought the green guys were like military guys or something.
Well, yeah, dude. They're
it's hard
helmets,
to tell.
And they're running in a football
they
stance.
They have swords.
So they're football players with swords.
Yeah. But then... And then you've got the worst enemy of all, which are just birds. Birds
oh, gosh,
are...
Really bad.
Yeah, the
birds
flying
the
stuff
worst.
Is annoying.
I kind of, Kenny and Dustin... I think that it does... It gets super hard late game, and that's where I had to use my save state. But, like, I don't know. I feel it was pretty boilerplate platformer for me. Like,
yeah,
I just played very carefully. I didn't, like, try to go kill everything and do get everything. I just tried to get through the game.
I think that's part of it. I think it's one that you have to play carefully. And two, I don't think it's as hard as some people and, like, as reputation says, but I also think it's more frustrating than a lot of other games. Like, when things go poorly, it's like, not you lost a life, it's you fell in a hole and it didn't feel fair, start the level over. Mm-hmm. And so I can get both of your frustration. I live somewhere in the middle. I had some really frustrating moments, but also kind of knew I was getting into those, but then, you know, sort of consistently made progress as well, though I tended to probably need and use save states more than you did, Nolan, just so that I didn't have to keep replaying it over and over and over, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's talk wall mechanics.
Absolutely. That's a novel part of this game.
Yeah, and so cool. And this is an NES game, and it came out in the 80s, so just keep that in mind.
You're just reminding everybody. But you could jump, you could slash, you could use unique abilities, and then you could jump and latch onto walls, because after all, you are a ninja.
Which is, like, such a cool mechanic, the way that you get through the stages. And, like, one of my favorite parts of this game is that you can do midair stuff. Like, in these older games, usually it was kind of stiff in your movement, where you would have to, like, jump, and you could only, like, attack when you're in a certain state, like standing or something. But, like, you can jump and do midair stuff in this game. It made the game feel really good.
to me, this is what it seems like. It seems like that this year, that this game actually came out 10 years later.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's 10 years ahead of its time. You bring this game out in 96, 98. I feel like it would have fit right in because you've got so much maneuverability. That's I'll definitely not
no,
a
it
word,
is
it? You've got so much. You can control your character so well in this game that it is remarkable for a game that came out in 88. That with the graphics and the music and the cutscenes, I think this is honestly a 96, 98 game.
It feels more like a Super Nintendo title to me than an NES title.
Besides the music, to me. The music's very NES, but I will agree.
Yeah, there's some limitations.
It was like ahead of its time for sure.
Guys, you've got Tecmo Bowl on NES. Like, that's the other kind of games that you've got. Like, you've got that game, and then you've got Ninja Gaiden. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense that this game actually came out in the year that it did with the capabilities that it actually did.
You guys mentioned the power-ups, but that was a huge part of what made this game fun for me. I love games that give you options and weapons, and it wasn't over the top here. You had to really, like, collect them and earn them and use them carefully to really progress in what I thought was an optimal manner. But you got some really cool power-ups. You're throwing ninja stars, you're shooting fire, you're freezing all of your enemies, you're helping your health get up, and there were just some really cool, you know, sort of gameplay elements that felt special, you know, that made it feel like more than just a, like, walk around beat 'em up that was plain.
And those mechanics, the wall mechanics, having the special items, those are key factors in being able to defeat some of these bosses. So Nolan mentioned earlier, he felt that the boss battles were where the difficulty spiked. And I can definitely agree, depending on which boss you fight. Like, there are a few that I found a very simple weakness, like, you know, crouching low and being able to stab really quickly or doing something. But usually you'll have to maybe latch onto a wall and jump over the boss or whatever it might be. What boss for you guys was the most difficult boss?
The final boss by far.
The final boss. I know. The final boss is super, super ridiculous. Hard, and a lot of people get there and can't even beat that. Like, that's where they lose their
game.
That's
where I had to use my safe state.
You got through this entire game.
I died, but, like, I would start over. But, like, the final boss is so annoying. Outside of him, though, the ones that, like, took longer to kill, some of the bosses you could kill pretty quickly. Like, I don't know why, but if you had the power-up that lets you, like, do the multiple hit thing, you know what I'm talking about?
The little, like, spinny thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Where you would, like, spin in the air and hit a couple times?
We're explaining things really well. The little spinny things, viewers.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what you call it.
You know what I'm talking about. That with, like, KO some of these bosses, and I was like, what? That's over?
Any boss for me that jumps over and over again, so I think it was at the boss at the end of Act 3 that just jumps to the left, jumps to the right, jumps to the left, and then every once in a while we'll throw these I think there may be stars out at you or something, like, just no. Like, simply no. There's no way that I'm able to do that well, and he trounced me multiple times.
The one in the air was tough for me, where he was flying back and forth shooting little things at you. Like, that one, I just felt like it took a lot of patience, because it was like, avoid the little things, and it wasn't that bad, but it was just annoying. Yeah. Like, wait until you had that one moment where you could jump up and hit him once, and then let him fly around and dodge things again, and it just, each boss felt like once you figured out how the boss worked, it wasn't too bad, but a lot of them really tried my patience. There were a few exceptions that were just tough.
So I do want to state here in the gameplay section, although we don't have to conclude this conversation right here, is that last week, one of our viewers, Bill, he offered up a challenge for anyone and everyone that wanted to test their abilities in whatever game the randomizer selected against the other viewers, as well as maybe even Kenny, myself, and Nolan. And so we did that this week with Ninja Gaiden. And the way that we determined to, you know, select the winner was largely based off of score, which I think this was a perfect game for us to do this kind of challenge with, because you maintain your score until the very end unless mm-hmm. you die. If you die, then your score resets. And right. so it is about how far you get, but it's also about how far you get with one life. It's kind of, you know, so that would mean that you could multiply and multiply and multiply your score. So maybe we can reserve our what you know, the max score that we as individuals got until the end when we're start when we hear what other people got. But I did want to say here that the way that you got points, the way that you got your score up in this game was by killing enemies, was by obtaining those items we've been talking about, and by finishing the stage with time left over. All of those factors contribute to your score.
And there is a timer on this game, which is great for a game like this. Like, nobody could decide, hey, I want to just sit here and like kill one enemy over and over and over again and run up my score, because you're not going to have time to actually get through the level.
Yeah. I was going to say, just real quick, what a genius Bill is for issuing that challenge for this game. It's so perfect for that, because not only because of what we had already mentioned, but the way that you have to make decisions when you're playing, like on the second stage in Act 2, where there's so many pits to fall in and there's so many enemies to kill, you can't just be like, well, I'm going to kill all of them and get all the points. You have to say, okay, I can kill him, but I need to get to this platform more than I need to kill him. So like, you have to make decisions, and for a platformer, which is a straightforward genre, typically there are many ways to play this game, I feel like.
Definitely. And there's a lot of enemies that you're going to skip, and because of the timer, you are pushing towards the end of the stage. So I doubt that any of our viewers just set this week and trying to take, you know, squad after squad of respawning right. enemies. I doubt that was much of a reality. And I do agree with you that Bill is probably brilliant, but he decided to offer up this challenge before he knew what the game was.
Well, right, but maybe he was a little
precog,
clairvoyant. Yeah.
All right.
Aged.
So let's talk about how this game aged. We already said it's pretty much older than Nolan. It is an old title, or he's a young guy, probably both. What were you guys' overall thoughts on how well it picks up and plays today?
Okay, we've talked about it some, but let me just state again. We're playing a 1988 game with cutscenes. We're playing a 1988 game with storytelling. And okay, yeah, so some of the storytelling is a little bit cheesy, but we're going with that anime-esque feel.
Yeah, it's like appropriately cheesy.
Right. But even that being the case, here's what happened, guys. So I played the game through a few times, or I tried, you know, I played as far as I could without save states because I wanted to try to find out a set score that I could get to so that I could share it with you guys in just a little bit. But then I played the game with cutscenes. I wanted to, after playing multiple days with and trying to get up my score, I actually played with save states so that I could get through the game because I wanted to see how the story concluded. Like, it was actually an interesting story that I didn't know what was going to happen, and so I wanted to play the game so that I could figure that out. So
yeah.
There are games that came out many years after Ninja Gaiden that still didn't tell good stories and still didn't have any form of visual storytelling, and so that alone makes me say that this game aged immaculately.
Yeah, and I know you're sort of partial to the story, and so there's some people who aren't going to care about that as much, but Nolan even mentioned that, like, for the era of game, how fluid some of those mechanics are. Now, there are some frustrating things mechanically, in terms of how punishing it is, that sort of come with showing its age, but I didn't think those broke the game experience, and I was with you. I really, really appreciated the story. It definitely was a little ham-fisted, kind of over the top, like expectedly unexpected things. I don't want to ruin the story for people who haven't played it, but stuff that made me roll my eyes quite a number of times. But overall, I also like at this like two-dimensional cheesy music, like I found myself almost on the edge of my seat at times listening to what happened in the story. So I really thought this was a good like combination of all of the things that make a good game. That's what impressed me.
Nolan, do you want to talk about the music?
It's not that good.
You didn't think so?
Nah, I didn't.
We have so much different opinions on this game.
I know this game was like one of the more differing ones we've seen.
I'm absolutely confused because to me, this game had killer music.
It had a variety of music.
Yes.
I will say that. But for me, it wasn't noticeable. It wasn't a highlight as much as the game, the fluid gameplay for me.
I feel like part of it's deceptive. I feel like because the game has so much story and like because the gameplay feels a little ahead of its time, like you almost expect like a higher ability hardware-wise musically. I don't know. I'm not saying like consciously, but like if you're comparing it to like Super Nintendo titles, it can't hold up in terms of literally what it can do musically. But I was with Dustin. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I didn't hold it against the game because it supported the other good elements for me. Like, it wasn't like, man, this music's bad, but I also didn't take away a track on a certain act wanting to go listen to it. You know, like, it was okay.
See, I did, and I never do that. I put down in my show notes, best song is Boss of Act 6 when you fight the demon boss. Like, that music is so good, and so I think we're flip-flop. Like, the gameplay itself and the mechanics and trying to figure out how to actually platform well in this game was what frustrated me the most and caused me to dislike this game. But then it was the cutscene storytelling, characterization, and music that caused me to, you know, for that to rebalance itself out. So, like, here's what I will say in regards to its age. I think the level of difficulty, especially late game, is one that will not be widely enjoyed by today's standards. Although I know there are a lot of people that like that punishing kind of game. What's that game that I've seen people speedrunning so many times where you just over and over again, you're just like a little dot and you have to maneuver along.
If you touch the spikes, or
if you fall.
Boshi.
Yeah, I mean, there's different versions of that for sure, but so those kinds of people I think will like this game because it is punishing, because it does, the difficulty does ramp up. The latter stages present an unforgivable level of difficulty that I feel like few would be able to easily overcome.
Yeah, and as far as the age of this game, I think it aged fairly well. It's still playable for sure. And that's a big factor when I'm thinking about the age of a game. If I can like actually play the game, one, like get my hands on a copy one way or another, emulated or whatever, you can do that. And then the actual gameplay is still playable. Like, I don't know. I feel like I should love parts of the game more than I do. I just think it aged about like I would expect it to.
The final shell shock.
Which brings us to the section of the podcast where we determine whether or not we're going to give this game our vote for New Game Plus status. It needs 2 out of 3 of us with a thumbs up to receive that title.
I feel like you two were the most divisive on this in terms of opinions and the whys, so I'd be curious your thoughts on New Game Plus to get us started.
Fair enough, moderator. All right, I flipped a coin and Nolan goes first.
Okay. I played this game without any kind of expectation because I had never played the game before. At least I've never played the original one. I think I've played one of the later ones, but so I didn't know how this was going to go. I just expected it to be really old, I guess, because of the date. But what I got was super unexpected. Like the cutscenes alone had me like, are you serious? And that happens at the beginning, so I was like, well, this might be awesome. The gameplay is fluid, and I don't feel like giving it New Game Plus, but I feel like I have to because it was pretty fun, and I could see someone enjoying the game by today's standards even. So I'll give it New Game Plus, but I don't know. I almost don't want to because I don't know how many people would like.
Super, super interesting. And this shouldn't be a surprise because I'm flipped from you. Like, mm-hmm. the I've already mentioned, there's so much about this game that I like. It took me by surprise. I didn't know what to expect, but the music, the story, the characters, even the action were quality. But for me, man, when difficulty is factored in, it brings this game's status of great down to good. And that good is one that is somewhere in the middle where it can sway one way or another. And I think there will be a lot of people that enjoy this game. I think, though, that there would be a lot of people that disenjoy this game. For me, I was right in the middle. But because I was right in the middle, I do not give this game my vote for New Game Plus status. Although I had some fun playing this game. There was a lot more frustration that was involved that made the fun almost not worth it.
Oh, this is hype now.
What?
Okay.
That's so funny. Like, if I'd been betting, I would have literally bet that you guys would have
the opposite.
Given the opposite answers. This episode's been so confusing.
Kenny is going on an emotional roller coaster.
I know. I can't handle the stress, guys.
The pressure's on, Kenny.
I hope you know what you're doing, Kenny, because, like...
This is a huge title. Everyone's probably heard of it. It's very old, so I would expect us to give it New Game Plus, but let's see what Kenny thinks.
Okay.
He's putting that out there for you, Kenny. He's expecting.
I'm reveling in the power I have right now. I'm not normally the deciding vote. I'm usually one of the dissenters.
So, all right, let's go, Ken.
Okay, Ryu.
Dad.
Dumb. So here's the thing. I get where both of you are coming from. Like, this game has some really frustrating aspects to it. This game also has some really amazing things given the age. Like, the storytelling is unique for the NES, but it's also a little heavy-handed and almost too cheesy at points. The gameplay is really fun at points and then really, like, really frustrating at other points because of the sort of difficulty and the, like, rote and repetitive nature of it. And so I can see how this is one that tears us. For me, though, on this game, I have to, like, look at the whole package. And I feel like, as a whole, it feels to me like such a quintessential Nintendo game. Like, platforming and having difficulty, but, like, doing those things well. I know I kind of argued, like, it almost feels like a Super Nintendo title in terms of how it plays and the quality, but it just reeks of Nintendo on everything else. And so it's that sort of just iconic, classic, fully retro but fully accessible nature of the game that stands out to me and says that most of our audience, at least, I think, ought to enjoy playing through this game. So it gets New Game Plus from me and therefore from us.
Dun, da, da.
Nice. We have to talk about our scores, though, right?
We do. Nolan, Kenny, I hope that you recorded your highest score that you were able to achieve and attain in this game. Either of you care to share?
I'm not going first.
I'll go first just because, like, I'm lame. I knew Nolan would be better than me, as well as Bill and Antonin and anybody else who played, because I'm mediocre at video games at the best. At least platformers. And all so right. I started playing through, failed to beat the first level the first time, I think, like died on the boss or something silly. Rolled my eyes, knew it was going to be a chore, knew I was going to end up using save states, and just committed to doing save states all the way through and not actually trying to get like a single actual high score. Yeah, I jumped myself out of it early because I felt like a, I don't know.
Like a jabroni.
Like a jabroni.
Okay, so I need the referee to kind of make the call here. I, like I said, used a save state to beat the game. So I guess my score will need to be what it was when I started the boss fight, because I recorded both.
Yeah, that would seem to make sense to me. But you, if you have it before the boss kill, that's what I would say is the only really valid one anyways.
All right. My high score was 173,400.
Gosh. And so you got all the way to the boss without a save state.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you, honestly? What
I played the game really slowly.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's a timer, but like you can still take your time. Like,
all right. I mean, I thought I did remarkably well, especially after reading some of our viewer response, but I ended up with 61,800 before I died on 4-1.
That's respectable.
Yeah, I
that
mean,
is
I was,
respectable.
I was very proud of that number, 61,800 before I died on 4-1, and so I still had obviously that's as far as I got without safe states, but I was really proud of myself. But speaking of viewer response, we received some emails, some tweets, lots of different things from our viewers this week. One of them, I'll just read Bill's first since he was the one that issued the challenge. He said, "Hey guys, well, I picked the wrong week to throw out a challenge. My high score was right around 2,400. No, sorry, 24,000. 24,000.
Oh, I was like, I might have beat Bill if it was 2,400.
My high score was right around 24,000, which was getting through stage 1-1 to 2-1 without a game over. Stage 2-2, though, what were those things? Green monsters throwing crosses or something? I know the Angry Video Game Nerd did an episode on this game, but I didn't realize how frustrating it would be to try to platform while being shot with machine guns and hit by birds and bats. Anyway, not my best showing. Hopefully, I at least beat Kenny."
You did.
I like how he knows what the standard is, yeah. and then delivered.
He also included, "And Antonin's forfeiture came at a good time. I'd bet he would have beat me." That's referring to Antonin had to tweet out since they started a writing competition this month, and so he was unable to compete with us. Bill continues, "Since he couldn't play the game this week, I'd like to extend my challenge to whatever the random game is this week. You guys should consider making this into a reoccurring thing. Have an awesome week."
I think so, too. It's pretty cool.
Very interesting. Thanks, Bill, for your commentary and for coming up with that great idea of having this kind of inner podcast competition.
Yeah, I agree. If nothing else, like if you send in comments with a game throughout the week, send us in your high score. We'll at least highlight who we think as a viewer did best. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So we received an email from Zion, and he simply said, "Played this game for several hours, got to the end, but just could not beat it." That's very frustrating. He said, "I want to include my last stage pick," and he did, and it's very clearly on 6-2, the enemy's health is full, and the ninja's health is down to 2 slivers, and he's so he got there, but he's got a score of 7,500. It is 7,500 because clearly he had died a few times getting there, but still got to the very end.
But made it really far. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's great.
Great.
Very. Oh, wow. Jinx. Well done, Zion. We also got a message from Roy. "This is one of the most angering games I've played. Endless mercenaries spawning in an arc. You get beyond that, something knocks you back, and then when you try to advance again, another endless mercenary spawn arcs at you and knocks you back even further. I never made it past 5-2, but this reminds me why I still enjoy platformers like Little Big Planet and Ratchet and Clank even today. Thanks for the podcast."
Oh, those are great games.
You played both?
Yeah, those are PlayStation exclusives.
We received a final email from Bradley. "Well, guys, I didn't even play the game this week because I've been pretty swamped, but writing in should at least give me a participation award, right? That's a better score than a lot of the other viewers, and I'll make it up on the next game."
You get 1 point.
1 point. You got 1 point on stage 1-1.
Well, boys, are there any other viewers?
Nolan's already reveling.
You're the winner. We
Do you
know
hear
you're
it
the
in
winner.
His voice? He feels like such a boss right now.
Like, we've established early in this podcast that you're a far better platformer and largely video game player than...
I am not. Kenny will decimate me at Civ 6.
He hasn't played it yet. Oh, no. You have been playing Civ 6, huh?
He's been playing Civ 6.
And Nolan, you've been playing the remastered Skyrim?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I've been playing a lot of that.
And I just finished Mad Max, and my wife and I just started Arkham Knight.
That's exciting.
A couple days ago, and we've been playing nonstop. It's actually surprisingly good. But that's not what this podcast is about. We are about selecting random retro games that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days. But what?
What?
We're not doing that this week.
No.
What?
No.
Wait, we're not.
You mean I don't have to stress?
I really don't know what's going on.
So we discussed, and all three of us agreed, even though we might forget about it. The next week, we are going to do a retro recap. It's been a long time. We've sadly only ever done one, and it's way past due for us to submit another one. So this next week, we're going to be working on our second ever retro recap, in which...
You want me to talk about it?
Yeah, one of you guys. Tell them what a retro recap is.
Sure. Retro recap is simply us going back through our catalog of games that we've played and just talking about them. So it's good for people that are new to our podcast or who want to get into our podcast. You can kind of get little snippets of what was fun or funny about certain episodes and games. And then, like, it's also fun to go back and listen to those episodes. And yeah, it's just a really long episode.
it's just
you make
a
it
really
sound so
episode.
Fun. No, yeah,
it
we
is
just
fun. I'm
we,
excited.
Oh, it's actually one of my favorite things. We just go back and highlight the frustrations or the memories, like the best and the worst, a little bit of each of the games we've played since, I guess, since the last time we did a retro recap, probably.
Yeah.
Though we
I
may
think
talk
that's
about
fair.
Some of our, you know, prior experiences as well. So
it's a lot of games.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun, different kind of episode. So we hope you guys will join us for that.
And in the meantime, Bill, we will postpone the competition for the game that we select at the end of next week.
Yeah.
And
this week, send us in your high score in life.
Yeah, which for most of us would probably be fairly low. Until then, you can find us on social media, Facebook and Twitter, at NGP Podcast. Listen to us directly wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music. Subscribe so that you are the first to get New Game Plus episodes. You can always support us at patreon.com/NGP Podcast. Special thanks to...
Zion and Bradley, our wonderful producers. You guys are the best. And to all our other Patreon supporters as well, you guys really enable us to do what we do well. And so thanks. Hope that we give you guys something that's worth your time and appreciate your support.
Join us next week for our retro recap. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
And I'm the winner.
I knew he was going to rub it in.
And this has been...
New Game Plus.